Hey there, listener. Just wanted to pop in, say hi before I introduce you to today's guest and the rest of this episode, and also to say thank you for tuning in to the show. I'm super excited for you to listen to today's episode. But before we get into it, I just want to ask and encourage you to tweet at me or tag me in an Instagram story at underscore chow eric. That's at underscore chowerick. Of you listening to the show as you get further into the episode, of course, and let me know your thoughts on it as you finish up the hour. I'd especially like to know a takeaway or something you enjoy from this episode. That would be awesome if you could do that for me. I would appreciate that. Now, in today's episode, we're diving really deep, my guest and I, into self-image and self-love. We're sharing our thoughts, our views on some pretty powerful questions like, why is it sometimes so difficult for us to have a great self-image and accept ourselves? How does our self-image influence the way we see and treat our relationships with others? Is the idea that you can't love others if you can't love yourself true? And how can we raise our self-image? In part two of the episode, my guest is also sharing a little bit about her relationship with her boyfriend of several years before we dive into her perspective on romantic relationships. That includes loving someone but not being reciprocated and getting rejected, being in a relationship but not being happy, seeing someone else in a broken or toxic relationship, but arguably most important, we share our thoughts on feeling unlovable or perhaps feeling incapable of being loved or giving love. Some pretty serious topics here, but very, very powerful, that I promise you. So, really excited for you to listen to this episode. Can't wait to introduce you to my amazing guest. So, without any further delay, thanks for listening. Let's get started. What's going on, everybody? This is Eric Chow, and you're listening to the Eric Chow Empowers podcast, episode number 42. Today, we're joined by a high school friend of mine, Michaela Sajo. Michaela, welcome to the show. Why don't you introduce yourself to the audience?
Hi, Eric. Thanks for having me. I'm Michaela, aka Meeks. So thanks for having me on the show. I'm really excited about what we're going to talk about.
So am I. It's funny. Michaela and I were just talking, audience, just before we got started, and we were talking about how long we've been trying to do this goddamn episode. It's been a lot of months.
We tried twice before this.
Yeah. Actually, I think the last time we tried was literally when quarantine started.
The week of quarantine.
The week of, yeah. We were like, we were going to meet on Thursday, if I remember right.
We're going to talk to Mr. Lamb.
Yeah, we were going to meet in person on Thursday, and then we were going to do the episode. And that fucking week, everything shut down.
Yeah, so crazy. I was so looking forward to it, too, and talking to you and Mr. Lamb.
It was going to be good, but we're here now. That's what matters. It finally happened like 5 months later, 6 months later.
Oh my gosh. You make it seem like it's been so long.
I'm not sure anyone's waited as long as you have.
Okay, because it's like I've been looking forward to this day because I know we planned this the first time February.
Yeah.
But then it just never happened. And then March, a month later, and now it's already August. And it's finally worked out. Yeah. And it was last minute too. I think it was last minute, like last weekend.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, something like that. Well, we're here now and that's what matters. So I kind of wanted to start off with talking about relationships. Love and just sort of, I remember one conversation we had a long time ago that was really fascinating to me, which was also about self-love. I think we had that on Twitter, if I remember right.
I remember because I think I tweeted something or you tweeted something,
right?
And then one of us replied to each other, and it just kept going about self-love, right?
If I remember right, and obviously it was a long time ago, we were talking about how, you know, there's that sense of you have to make sure you love yourself before you can love others. What do you think about that?
Definitely. I just think that if you're incapable of accepting yourself fully or loving yourself fully, then it's going to be harder to love someone else, especially since you have to not only love yourself, but someone else. You know what I mean? And it's more of a larger task. You know what I mean? And it's not as easy as it sounds. It's very difficult. And it's even harder when you try to balance loving yourself and loving someone else at the same time when you're in a relationship too. So I just think that if you can't love yourself, then you shouldn't be able to love someone else. You know what I mean? Because you've always had yourself from the beginning. You know what I mean? Like, and if you can't love yourself, then it's like, it's hard to explain. If you can't love yourself, then you won't be able to open your heart more to other people because you can't even accept yourself, you know?
Yeah. I think one thing that kind of came to mind as you were talking was, I feel like in some ways it's almost easier to love another person simply because when you know yourself and obviously you're with yourself all the time, you start to become aware of those little things. Those mm-hmm. little things that like bother you about yourself, right? Because everybody has their own self-doubt and all that good stuff or whatever, bad stuff, I don't know. But everyone kind of picks up on those tendencies about themselves that like kind of annoys them, or they're like, I don't really like this about myself, or they have that self-doubt because they know themselves. But when you're talking to somebody else, you're usually not as aware of it. Especially when it's within the first couple of interactions or when you're not super close. So it's really easy to be fond of another person in that way. But I think where what you're talking about comes into play is when things do get difficult. Because at first it's easy because there's nothing bothering you. You're like, man, this person's great. And you know yourself. So you're like, maybe I'm not so great or whatever. You have those doubts. But you're not aware of that in the other person. So it's easy at first, but then things get difficult. And then you start to see the problems. And because everyone has problems.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely. I think, I think that's where it comes into play, what you're saying, because if you're able to accept yourself, which is not always super easy, but when you're able to accept yourself, then it's like, if I can accept myself, I know myself the best. I know all the shit I have to deal with. Mm-hmm. Then there's no reason why I can't accept everybody else, because I know myself. Like, if I can deal with all this shit, I can definitely deal with whoever this person is. Cause I don't know. You're not as aware of their problems as you are with your own.
Yeah. I also think that when you find someone you're fond of and they're fond of you, they help you distract yourself to see your own problems. You know what I mean? Like when someone's with you, they don't know what you're going through really. And I don't think anyone will understand what you're going through or how you're feeling more than yourself, you know?
Right.
And I just think that in that moment where it feels like you have no problems or issues because that person's making you feel like that person's like helping you through it, kind of helping you through it as in like distracting you. Right. Then that's like, just like how you said, like you're unaware of your problems in that moment because you're with that other person. But you know, when you're with that person for a longer time, I guess you can say, then you're like, okay, I get how he is or how she is. And then all of a sudden, maybe something about them reflects back to yourself. I don't know if that makes sense. But
like, right, no, it does, because I like how you said that, because it's, I think maybe that's part of the reason why it's so much easier to appreciate other people, because I was kind of saying it was because you don't know them as well, but it's also because like you said, they're distracting you from yourself. And then it becomes, oh, okay, I feel great around this person, because you're not aware, you're not thinking of, oh, I have this thing going on and I don't know how to do this and whatever, whatever. You're not thinking about that. So you're like, oh man, this is great. This person's awesome. Like it's like we're giving credit to this other person for,
yeah, exactly.
For like somehow making our problems disappear. But no, it's just the distraction. But then you get into that deeper, you get closer, often over time, but you get closer and then you start to see, oh, this person has this. Oh, I also have this. And then it becomes kind of that interesting stage, I suppose, of a relationship or friendship.
Yeah, and in a relationship, when you get in that deeper stage, then you start comparing yourself. Not just a relationship. It could happen in a friendship too. Like, oh, like, am I good enough to be with this person now that I know how they are? Or do I even compare? Am I compatible with this person, whether they're a friend or like someone that I like? So then it's just a whole new wave of self-doubt, like you said. It's just a whole new wave of like, am I good enough? But then I also have my own flaws. Am I not good enough for myself? So if I'm not good enough for myself, am I good enough for that person? You know what I mean?
Right, right. And it just gets really, really complicated and like a jumbled mess in our heads of our kind of self-image. And I think that's why I think I agree with you in terms of, yeah, you really do need to work on your self-love, and maybe it's not perfect. I wouldn't say that you need to be perfect
you
know, do all that. But it's that willingness to work through it,
mm-hmm.
and to have someone who's willing to work through it with you.
Oh yeah, that's a big one.
Right, because otherwise you're fucked.
Yeah, because like I'm not saying definitely you have to love yourself before you can. I mean, it would be great if you can, but of course there's gonna be times where you're in and out of loving yourself. I know I've been through that many times, right? Like, oh, I feel so good right now. But then after, I'm like, dang, like, I do not like how I am right now, you know? And like, just because I know I've had that in and out, even when I'm in a relationship, but it's even more helpful to have someone who still supports you and still tells you like, no, you can love yourself again. Like, just find that motivation in you to love yourself again, like how you did before. If anything, take some steps into some changes that you might need, right? So, of course, not everyone's going to love themselves the whole time. There can be some cases where they can, which is great for them. But for those who's always in a battle with with their self, then it's like, at least try to be aware of it. Don't, you know, I feel like once you're aware of how you feel about yourself, or if you're aware that you need to change, that's already a step to me. You know, it's not like it's always better to feel aware and then do something about it. You know, mm-hmm. It's a difference between being aware, doing something about it, and also being aware, not doing something about it. I know back in November of 2019, I came to a point where I was aware that I was not happy with how I looked, because, you know, in and out, I loved myself before that, and then back again in between like October, November 2019, I was like, dang, I actually don't like myself anymore, you know. And it was at that moment where I was like, you know what, I'm gonna change for myself, and I know I can do it, you know. And so around end of November 2019, I decided to do something about it, and it was so hard in the beginning. Like, I already knew that the beginning is going to be so hard to change, you know. And what I mean by not liking myself in November 2019, I'm talking about body image. I've always had like a battle between me and my self-image. Of course, a lot of people would say, well, you look fine, you know, like, you're beautiful and everything. I appreciate the compliments that I get. But at the end of the day, if I can't accept myself, I can't accept those compliments, you know? And it's more like, it's not like I'm offended, or it's not like I don't appreciate people's compliments. it's more of a it's personal. More of a self personal yeah. thing. Yes, it's more of like a I need to accept myself. I'm happy that people see me as beautiful still, but I don't see myself as beautiful, and I blame that on the relationship weight. You know, when you're in the relationship and you just love going out to eat and everything and just enjoying it, I just let myself go. And I came to the point where I was like, wow, I'm not happy. I always avoided scales. And because I always believe, you know, the scale doesn't matter as long as you look fine. And the whole time I was in denial saying, you know what, I'm fine. Like, I feel fine. You know, I don't need to step on a scale. But one day I stepped on the scale and I'm like, oh, I actually don't like the numbers that I see right in front of myself. So I decided, like, okay, I became more doubtful, more insecure, definitely more insecure. And then finally, during Thanksgiving break, I started running again. I hated it. I hated running, even though I used to run more before.
Yeah, you did that one track.
It was just for 1 year, but I mean, really? Like, yeah, wow. I did it for 1 year. I mean, I did like cross country middle school, but that's middle school. But I used to like running, but then like when I started all over again, I hated it because, you know, you're starting over again. But then after I told Jamari this, like literally 2 weeks ago, because I was looking at my
for context for the listeners, Jamari is her boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. I was looking at my transformation pics 2 weeks ago and I was talking to Jamari like, dude, I really did not myself from October all the way to February. For that amount of time, I was not happy with myself, but at the same time, I was still working through that challenge to love myself again. It was around the time of March, quarantine, where I actually started to feel more comfortable with myself and how and where I am with myself. And I reached my goal from November. I lost 11 pounds, but I know that I could improve more on myself. But all I know is I'm happy with where I am now, but that doesn't mean I'm gonna stop, you know? Like, I just wanna maintain it or even make a new goal with it. And I think I told you before, that my New Year's goals were to run through 5 and 10K. Do you remember that? I told you I wanted to run a 5 and 10K because I started to love running again. When I started to see the progress, I started to love running again, and I wanted to attend marathon or like runs. You know what I mean? But you know, it can't happen because of COVID, so I have to postpone those goals to next year, hopefully. But yeah, I just think that it's going to be hard at first, but it's not impossible at all.
I think this kind of is interesting because it's starting to get into not just, I mean, self-love and self-image are kind of the same thing. But I think saying it in the words of self-image, at least to me, makes a little bit of a difference. I suppose if I were to say self-image would be kind of that, how do you see yourself, right? And mm-hmm. and so when others are complimenting you about how you look, that's great. That's how others see you. That's that image that they see of you. But then and right, of course you're appreciating it and you're like, that's awesome, but there's that self-image sense of, you may think that that's great. You have your opinion. That's awesome. Thank you. But I don't feel that. That's not my self-image.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Because that self-image, I mean, sometimes it depends on other people, to be honest. Sometimes our self-image is higher because of the encouragement we get from other people, but sometimes it's not. And sometimes it's something that we have to do for ourselves to build. Mm-hmm. And so what do you think about building self-image?
Like personally or
yeah.
When people are like, do you want me to give you tips or how I think about it?
Let's start with how you think about it and then we can do tips.
Well, I definitely think that personally building your self-image, it's not going to be consistent at all. It's a roller coaster. It's a relationship with yourself, really. And all relationships aren't always consistent. And I think that it's the matter of, again, accepting, I think, and also owning up to what is in front of you, I think. Mm. Instead of running away or being in denial like I was when I said, oh, I'm fine, I don't need to look. It's just running away from what is really going to be in front of you. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. Mm. Like, you're scared to see the truth. This is from my experience. I was scared of facing the real truth about how I am or how I looked about myself. But it's something that you're eventually gonna need to confront, or else you'll never know. You will never know if you need to change, or you will never know if you're on the right track, if that makes sense.
But yeah. I like it. Yeah. I think that, especially with something like self-image, it's so vital, that first step of acknowledging, okay, this is where I am. Because mm-hmm. you can't build upon self-image if you don't know what the hell your self-image is.
Yeah, exactly. But it's hard. Like, you're scared. Like, when I first...
Of course, yeah.
Like, when I first seen it, I was just like, oh, like, really? Like, I let myself go. Like, I didn't think I would. I was just so in the moment. But of course, it's to be expected. If I didn't work out, or if I didn't eat healthy all the time. But I mean, it was definitely a letdown. And then to make it even worse, I started becoming more insecure about how people see me. Like, do people really think I'm pretty like that? Or like, does my mom think that I need to lose weight, even though she's very supportive? Like, I know she would think that I could lose a few pounds. Does Jamari think that I look okay? You know what I mean? Like, of course, I would want approval, not just for myself, even though it should just be myself. But in reality, I would want the people who I care about and love to approve of me as well. So it was it was just a matter of, I need to change for myself and to feel approved by myself and my loved ones, even though I don't really need their approval. It's just that battle between my emotions type of thing, emotions and my thoughts. Like, I should be okay with where I am, or regardless of how much progress I should make, it should just be approved by just myself, you know? But of course, I still have that thing where I should feel approved by my loved ones, which really, I know I don't need to, but you know, it's something I'm still working on.
I think it's interesting that you said that, even though obviously everybody was kind of telling you, yo, you still look beautiful, you still look pretty, even though you didn't feel that, because you didn't feel that, you had that thought of, I mean, I guess lying to me, maybe. Maybe they don't actually see that and they're just trying to encourage me. And yeah, I think that's like, so interesting.
I don't know. I guess you could say it's my negative self-talk, definitely, or overthinking things.
Right.
But, you know, the only person who really gave it to me straight since I was small was my mom. She was just like, I don't want you to go through what I did. I want you to become healthy. Even if sometimes it was tough love, and I didn't want to hear it from her. But I knew that everything she said and wanted me to do was for myself. You know, for me right. to love myself and be happy with where I am. So all her nagging worked eventually.
In time, as annoying as it was, yeah. But I think it's. Yes. How that self-image comes into play even with other people. And when it comes to that whole, obviously we want our, you know, loved ones to approve of us, of course, right? And yeah, I think that's a very interesting sort of, I guess, battle that we all kind of have to go through, because there's that natural need for that, but also there's that sense of the real approval that we only need, like you said, should be ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting, that sort of that dynamic there. It's very interesting. So what about personal recommendations or tips when it comes to raising self-image?
I mean, I would say to alternate your mindset, but that's definitely easier said than done. It's more like when I recommend how to change how you look or like your self-image to more confidence. It's not something, I mean, to me, it's not something physically, it's more like your emotional and mental strength. Do you have it? Do you have what it takes to give yourself a chance? You know what I mean? Do you have what it takes to accept it, accept who you are, and then do something? Of course, it's easier said than done, but that's what helped me go through what I went through and what I'm still going through. It's all about my mental and emotional strength. If that doesn't help, then maybe someone who you really trust and love, if they can help push you, like how my mom pushed me and how Jamari pushed me, that definitely boosts my self-esteem. Not because it's those compliments from other people, but it's coming from people who knows me. You know what I mean? It's not just like acquaintances or friends or like not just like close friends, but I meant like, you know, just friends, right? You don't really see all the time, but it's coming from someone who sees you every day, who knows how you look, who can notice changes that's happening. Cause you know, when I looked at my pictures, I can definitely tell that I was changing. But if you have your own emotional and mental support from yourself and also from your close loved ones, that definitely will help you, raise your confidence, definitely.
How do you raise that emotional, mental strength or stability?
Oh, so that for me to raise my own emotional and mental strength, I actually use my physical strength to change. So when I first started running, I started off with running. I could see small progress, but it was because of those small progress that kept me going, that kept my emotional and mental strength strong, that kept me hopeful, and it gave me more confidence. Also, seeing I guess you could say like I would watch fitness videos, transformations. That helped me because it taught me that anything's possible. It's not impossible, of course. And it's just, I guess you could say that emotional, mental, and physical strength and support goes hand in hand. So if you want to raise your emotional, mental strength or support, then use your physical one to help boost it. If you want to raise your physical, I guess, I don't know if that makes sense, but that makes sense to me. Like they just work well together. Like it, I don't know if that makes sense.
It makes It makes sense to me. So I'll kind of maybe put in my wording and we'll see. Between your wording and my wording, the listener will understand at least hopefully one of us, you know.
Yeah. But I mean, you get where I'm coming from.
I think I do. Tell me if I'm wrong, right?
Yeah, yeah. So
to me, when I think of working out, I think a lot of it really does happen in the mind, because I know, I think I heard from somebody, and I don't know where the hell I heard it, but somebody was saying they don't count the reps until it starts to hurt. Because the truth is, it doesn't really, I mean, count your reps if that's, you know, it depends on how you do it. Personally, I will count my reps if I'm not hurting. Yeah, but
I do too.
That's cool, just to know. But the thought process of that is you're not really doing much, because that's the part that you're already capable of. So maybe the first whatever, 20 reps, you already know you're capable of. So there's nothing, like, you're just doing the reps, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it starts to be a little bit of a struggle. And that's where the mental, emotional part comes in, because that's the part where if your physical strength is starting to struggle a little bit, then you need to recruit that strength from the other aspects of yourself, which is that mental, emotional. And then when you recruit that strength, then that's helping you to push your physical strength further so that your physical strength can grow. Mm-hmm. Then if your physical strength, maybe you're happy with that and you need to grow your mental strength. So then, you know, I don't know. So it's that sense of you're borrowing strength in that sense from other aspects of yourself in order to grow in one way. And I think it's also when you're doing it with other people, there's other people who are encouraging you and pushing you, but it's not just, those are the, I think the people that you were talking about, like, especially with your mom, it's not necessarily just how close they are to you. It's also because you know where their heart is coming from. For mm-hmm, sure.
Exactly.
Because mm-hmm. if you came to me, you're probably going to get me encouraging you because you just know that's how I am.
Right?
Like, you know me. Like, I'm just going to give it to you like that. I'm not really going to give you I might not give you the tough love that your mom's going to give you. I'm just going to mm-hmm. say, nah, you're great. Keep doing what you're doing. Like, I'm just going to be that friendly kind of encouragement. Is the heart coming from where you know where the heart is coming from for sure. And you know your mom like that. So mm-hmm. she's going to give that to you. And someone told me this a couple of weeks ago, a couple months ago, maybe, that I thought was really interesting, which was a very small quote, which was this: borrow somebody else's belief in you. Because sometimes we have those moments of belief is high and then it comes low. When I feel like I don't believe in myself, sometimes I'll think about, okay, who are the people I believe in? Okay, well, if I believe in this person, like I believe that in this person 100%, this person's a great person, and they tell me they believe in me, if I believe in them, then I better believe in me too.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it does.
If I believe in this person, and they're telling me, yo, Eric, I believe in you, dude. Then if I don't believe in myself, then that means I'm going against my own belief and I don't want to do that. So to me, that's that sense of I'm going to borrow this person's belief in me. Maybe I don't see it yet and that's okay. But because I have this person telling me and I believe in this person, now I can be like, all right, now I just need to go prove it to myself, basically. I'm like, all right. I'm great. Okay, got it. This person's telling me I'm great. Now I just need to go prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that same idea of borrowing strength from maybe instead of your emotional, mental, or maybe from your physical, it's borrowing that belief that another person has in you and then putting that into action. So it's that, oh, you're running and you see that progress. Because that progress, I think, is important. Because if I'm just sitting here and I'm telling myself, I'm great. This person's telling me, I'm great. There's nothing going to happen. Like, then I'm just like trying to convince myself in my own head. That's not doing anything for me. You have to go prove it to yourself. And you prove it not by reaching your goals, but by working towards them.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, hey, maybe I'm not where I want to be yet, but I see myself getting closer, which means now I know I can do it.
Mm-hmm, I may not be there,
but I can. So that belief of, hey, I can do this is now proven to you. You're not just borrowing it anymore. You're like, I can do this. And then your self-image rises.
Mm-hmm, exactly. You just summed it up right there.
Hell yeah.
You got it on point.
Hell yeah. Hopefully.
Well, I'm glad that you understood me too.
We're in alignment. This is great.
We're on a roll.
Hell yeah. So let's twist this a little bit. We're talking a lot about self-love, self-image, and hopefully listeners, that'll be very helpful to you. Let's twist it a little bit and talk for a little while. You brought it up, your relationship with Jamari. I want to talk about it a little bit, obviously it always relates to self-love and self-image, but let's talk a little bit about relationships. So let's see. I don't even know where
to start. This is always an interesting topic to me because everyone has their own point of views of relationships, love. There's a lot of people who can't love anymore because something happened in the past, or some people haven't even tried and believe that they can't, you know, experience it. Or some people have gone through it multiple times and still believe they can't find the right one, which I have somewhat experienced most of that and witnessed the other parts of people going through love multiple times and then believing that that's how much they can only get. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. But wherever you want to start, Mr. Eric Chow.
I think since you kind of alluded to it, and only because I know the story a little bit. of course, it'd be useful for the audience to get in on it as well. However much you want to share, my friend, but I do know that your experience a little bit with that sense of you thought that was the one, and then it didn't work out, and there was that heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
And which also happens to be how you and Jamari got to know each other. So you want to tell the story now?
Okay.
Can you just start here?
Yep. To Jamari, who's listening. Jamari, if you're listening, I'm not going to go bring in too much details. I'll just say what I told Eric earlier.
Jamari, if she goes too far, it's my fault, okay?
So, Jamari and I met in high school. I'm going to make this short because I know the whole people don't want to know about my whole life story. So, Jamari and I met in high school. He knew me in sophomore year because track, but I did not know him until my junior year, like towards the end of junior year, basically May 2018, I guess you could say. And that whole junior year, we had an anatomy class together. And that whole year, I didn't know who he was, and he knew who I was. We never spoke into each other. We didn't even, I just did not know he existed, until I liked this person before Jamari, and things did not end on good terms. Things just didn't end well, and I was pretty much heartbroken. And before that person, I liked a couple other guys too that didn't work out. So just that multiple slaps in the face, you know, just keeps building up. Like, damn, like, I know I'm in a high school, but I kind of expected to experience some sort of love, you know. Like, I'm 100% sure that everyone at one point in their lives wanted to experience love, or how to love someone, or how someone can love you, like, if you're capable of that. And if you're thinking whether or not, are you capable of it? Yes, you are capable of it. You're capable of loving someone, and you're capable of being loved by someone. So don't think that you're unlovable, because that's what I called myself, was unlovable. So, of course, after that big heartbreak, I did not go to school the next day. I was just, like, out of it. I was, like, not who I was. My mom was disappointed. She literally said, you better get your shit together, Michaela, Rayanne, Gul, and Sejo. That's exactly what she just said to me. That morning that I didn't go to school, I went to church because I'm religious, but I'm not hella religious. I have my own relationship with God, so I'm a Catholic, by the way. So I went to church, and I just literally cried in the back. And I was just crying, just saying, like, I understand things don't work out. I understand you have plans for me. I know there's someone out there. I just hope that one day that, like, that person will come around, you know, just, you know, you're like, literally, I'm just literally pouring my heart out. And after that mass ended, I literally felt so much better. I came home, I apologized to my mom saying, like, I'm sorry, I acted like I didn't act how you raised me type of thing. And then literally the next day, I walked into my sixth period anatomy class and I'm still kind of down, my energy's low. And then all I hear is, I just got my license. And I'm like, who is so happy on a Wednesday or Thursday, right? So then I look and I see this guy in glasses and I remember his name was Jamari. So then I literally just pulled up a stool, one of those science stools in your, like, you know, the middle stools. And I pulled it right in front of him and I sat down and I said, hey, or hi. And he was like, oh, hi. And he was just so jolly, so, like, his energy was so above mine while mine was so low. It's like his own energy was able to lift my energy up. And from there on, we just, you know, it's history. I'm still with Jamari now. So I definitely believe, he and I definitely believe that we are brought together for a reason. He helped me. He picked myself up and showed me that I can be loved and that I'm worth it. And 3 months, not 3 months, but we talked the whole summer. He asked me out. July, and then 3 to 4 months later something happened and it proved to me that I was meant for Jamari too, to help him during those times as well. So yeah, but I know that I'm not saying that he and I will get married and like last forever and ever. We're not perfect or any, we're not like, you know, perfect, no one's perfect. I'm just saying that I believe that he and I are meant for each other in this moment regardless of what's to come in the future.
I really like when you say that, and because I think a lot of people don't have the sort of internal security to be able to say something like that, that sense of, because I like so many relationships you see, and I'm not putting those down, but they'll say, for sure, we're together always. And I think it takes a lot of that internal security to be able to say, I don't know. I can't see the future. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I believe it. I mean, sure, but I don't know. But for sure, what I do know is right here in this moment, we're perfect. Not because we are individually perfect, but because of our willingness to sort of be together and work together, love each other, all of that. And I think that takes a lot of that internal security. One thing I also kind of noticed as you were talking was very right in the beginning, you kind of said you felt that you were unlovable and you were kind of talking, you broke the story to kind of talk to the audience a little bit to say, anyone who doesn't feel lovable, anyone who somehow is feeling that they may or may not be unlovable, they're having that doubt. You said, 100% for sure, you are lovable. You are worthy of being loved. What tells you that for sure?
Because I know that everyone has obviously a heart. It would be a waste to not use it. You know, we have a heart for a reason. And there's so many of us here on earth that it's impossible to not connect with someone, not even loving someone romantically, just love someone. You can love someone as a friend, look up to, love someone like as a, like a role model. Like I love my mom because she's not just my mom, but she's my role model. People are all capable of love. Like there's no doubt about it. In my heart, I know that we'll be loved and they deserve to be loved. But I know a lot of my friends before went through problems of heartbreak and, you know, they also believe that they wouldn't, they also believe that they wouldn't be able to find love or they struggled with it. And all I told them was, you know, God has not given up on you, you know, he got plans for everyone. it's only hard because we don't know when that person will come. We don't know where, we don't know what time, what day, we don't know how they look, we don't know. All we have to do is be patient. And of course, patience is hard to have. But in the end, God's not gonna leave us hanging. And I'm not just speaking because of my religion, I'm talking about any religion, whoever you believe in, I'm confident that that person you look up to in your religion, they have someone for you, you know? You're not gonna just leave here alone. And even if people struggle with it, because, you know, I had family members before who were bullied and felt like that, there's some instances where people really do get shut out. But, and that's usually some, I know, I feel like I am going off track, but it's just like, there's some instances where people are shut out or they have a traumatic experience, which is why they feel like they can't open their hearts. Even then, I still think that that person will be loved. Regardless, people are here with hearts for a reason. And it's like I said, it would be a waste for that person not to use it. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with loving lots of people, because, like, I guess I think that love is the source of, source for people to not just love themselves and experience other people, but, you know, kind of gives you like a purpose, I guess. Mm. We never know what the purpose of life is. That's, everyone else has their own jobs to find it. But I do know that love does play a part of that purpose. If that makes sense, if everything I just said makes sense.
I mean, I'm going to say it again. I get it. Almost the listeners do. me and Michaela are in alignment. If I hope the listeners are like that third party that's just listening in on us, because they clearly don't have a say.
You and I can always like understand
every time.
Every time.
I really like how you just said. Everything you just said, fuck. I was gonna go into like a whole thing in my head, but then I was like,
I'm on fire today. No,
not really. I mean, if I had to add one thing, I think in the moment, it's good to be in the moment, but I think sometimes we have to put life into perspective, mm-hmm. especially when we're so young, when we feel like, man, I'm never gonna find love, or my life is never gonna do this or that. But to me, I just think about, yo, I'm fucking 19. Like what? I'm gonna live this like 19 years, so many more. I mean, assuming I don't die from some stupid accident, knock on wood. I told my family the other day, I was like, if I die from some stupid accident, totally put it on the grave. Like if I go skydiving and the parachute doesn't open, you should put on my grave like forgot his parachute or some shit. Like it'll That's be great. Right? I really actually think that'd be a great way to go.
You make it more positive.
Yeah. If I do that, I'm honestly not even mad about it. I mean, hopefully I don't forget the parachute, but
or hopefully the parachute doesn't have like a hole in it or something.
Yeah, yeah. But if I happen to go out that way, I'm not mad about it. But I think like put that into perspective. Like for me, I'm 19. I'm gonna live this life so many more times. Like I got time, and even if you're this, I don't even know my own freaking demographic for age. But if someone's listening to this at like fucking 45, you're still gonna live your life all over again. 90, plenty of people live that long. So, I mean, obviously assuming you take care of yourself and all that good stuff, but you know, you got time. And I think that being patient is definitely not easy, but when you realize, I think the way I think of it is anything I can control, I'm gonna do with urgency. Because I'm not going to wait for something to happen. That's personally how I'm thinking about it. But the things that I can't control, I'm just going to be patient for it.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I guess I would put it. So let's see.
You mentioned something about if you can do it, you're going to do it with urgency. I also think that if someone is offering you their love, that's up to you whether you take it or not, you know?
Yeah.
It's not about like, oh, I can't find love or I'm not lovable. If someone's offering you their love, you're not unlovable. They're offering it to you.
Right.
It's up to you whether you take it or not too.
Yeah.
And if you don't take it, then that's the choice you decided to make. Yeah. But you did have a chance to accept someone's love. Not even romantically, of course. Romantically, right. Like, you know, like in any way, in any shape or form. If someone's offering to love you, so offering to be there for you, the time came. Well, one of the times came.
Right.
That you were offered. It came around. But if you turn it away, then you might have to wait until someone else for it to come back to you, if that makes sense.
Yeah. But
I do agree with you that if you can do it, you'll do it with urgency. Or if you have the choice, then if I had the choice, I would take it. It's really up to me whether I to accept it or not. Because I had instances where people offered me their love, and it was my choice whether I wanted it or didn't want it, you know? So I guess you could say it's half and half. The right person will love will come. We don't know when, we don't know who, but when it does come, it's up to you whether you want it or not.
Yeah. I do have one question that I want to ask. What about when you offer love to somebody and whether they take it, maybe they don't, but whatever it is, they don't give it back. What do you think about that? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I had that before. sorry, I'm getting water.
You good?
But yeah, so you're saying how I feel or how I think about when you offer love and right, they don't reciprocate it.
Right, exactly. If it's not reciprocated, because I think a lot of people feel hurt by that. They feel like, dang, I really like, I poured my heart out. What now?
Oh, you gave me just like so much throwback memories. This happened to me a couple times too before. Man, it's like, one of the instances that happened basically like that, I just couldn't accept it. And I just tried. Actually, no, twice. Both of the times where I tried to offer and it wasn't reciprocated, I just tried until I don't know, it's just, I couldn't give up, you know? I didn't want to give up. I wanted them to reciprocate the same feelings. But it sucks that at times it's not mutual. Like, I'm just imagining how I was back then. I was hurt. I was in denial, definitely in denial. Like, okay, just because this person doesn't feel the same way, maybe if I did this differently, or if I liked what they liked, or, you know, just, again, to get the sense of approval, if I tried to be the dream girl that they wanted to be, maybe they'll like me, you know? But that's not me, you know? Their dream girl is not who I am. But at the time, I thought that they were the one for me, you know? And it was a lot of disappointments, a lot of, like, embarrassment. I felt embarrassed every time I would try to offer and it wasn't the same, but yet I still kept going. I definitely was embarrassed, like, why couldn't you just let go? Like, when I look at myself from how I was before, sometimes I'm like, why couldn't you just let go and wait? You know, just wait. Don't push it. If they don't feel mutual, it's okay. But no, I was not okay with that, because I wanted it to work. Because at that time, I thought, if you want it, you have to get it. That works in some cases, but in some cases, it doesn't if the other person is unwilling to do it with
you. Mm.
I don't know if this answers your question, but...
I really like that last thing you said there, because I'm kind of the same way of that, like, if I want it, I feel like I have to go get it. I think certain things will come, but it kind of goes back to what we said earlier of, if I can control it, I'm going to do it with urgency, but otherwise I'm going to do it with patience. And mm-hmm. I think that exactly. is an interesting balance, because it doesn't work the other way around. It really doesn't. If I can control it and I do it with patience, then I'm going to be waiting forever. If I can't control it and I do it with urgency, I'm just going to be mad all the time. Mm-hmm. And that ain't cool either, right? You have to find, I think it's that finding that balance of mm-hmm. figuring those two things out. And when you're the things that you can control are always the things that are about you, right? That's the working out. That's the mm-hmm. how you spend your time. That's the whatever it is you're trying to do. But when you're dealing with other people, that's never in your control. So you just focus on doing your part, which could be, I'm going to give this person my love, friendly, romantically, whatever. That's in my control. I'm going to do that because this is me. Like, this is authentic about
me. That's what I want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. They don't reciprocate. That's not something I can control. That's not something that I feel like I have to create, because I can't. And I think it's that sense of figuring out what you can control, what you can't. I think that's a big, big part of what we're talking about here.
And I also want to add that, because I don't think anyone told me this, or if they did, I don't remember who it came from, but if it doesn't work out, all your efforts of you trying to give your love, and if it doesn't work out, regardless of how much you tried, whether it's for a friend or someone you like, right. etc., if it doesn't work out, regardless of how much effort you put, don't be ashamed of it, honestly. Like, I was ashamed of it because I felt embarrassed, like, oh, I look stupid, huh? Like, trying to make something happen even though it couldn't happen, you know? Mm. Don't be ashamed of it. Honestly, I think that's like one of the qualities that you have, that you're capable to love someone. Don't be ashamed of it. Now you know that you're capable to love someone. Now you can see how far you'll go for someone. You can see how big your heart is. You know, there's a lot of, just because yeah. something doesn't work out, you gain something from it because you're more aware of how much you're capable of. So if I were to tell myself in the past, don't be embarrassed. It's okay. At least you know that you have a big heart and that you're capable to love someone. Don't be ashamed of it. Just take it as like a learning lesson and move on.
Brilliant. Yeah, because it really does. It shows that strength, and it's just all perspective. You could see it as a weakness, but yeah, you could totally, totally see it as a tremendous strength of having a big heart.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't work out, you learn something about yourself. And if it does work out, hey, you got something cool.
You got
cool
two things.
Yeah. So either way, it works out. Either way, you can't lose.
Yeah.
There's no loss.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, of course, it'll be hard to see that.
Of course.
When you get shut down. But yeah.
Anything else you want to mention in terms of self-image, love, relationships?
I think it's just, you know, if someone's like, there's this other topic with love, you know, if you're in a relationship and you're not happy, and sometimes people are scared to leave it because they won't find someone better. That's something that I've witnessed, or I've seen it happen to other people, or things that my mom told me too before, like, you know, if you're ever in a relationship where you're not happy or it's just not working out, or there's one thing to continue to try to work it out, and there's another thing where there's no like you guys, it's not working. The other person's not unwilling to work it out, and you're just dragging it along, or you're the only one working for it. So for me, I would say that for those who are stuck, basically, there's more out there than where you are. You don't have to force something. I know it's so hard to let go, especially first loves. That one's really hard for a lot of people because it's your first love. It's hard to let go. It's, of course, it sounds easy, but it really isn't easy. Even though you're scared, even though you love the person, if you know you're not happy, or if you know that person's not treating you well, you have to do what's best for you. Put yourself first, because of, like I always say to my friends, before you were in a relationship, you had yourself first. You put yourself first before you put the relationship first, before you were in the relationship. So it's like, if you're not happy in the relationship, you have to think about, what can I do to make myself happy? Because this relationship's not making me happy. And people worry about, oh, I'm never going to be loved again, or I'm not going to find someone better than this person, or I'm scared that I'm going to just get heartbroken again. Get heartbroken again. I'm kind of like, people always say they don't want to get heartbroken. I didn't want to get heartbroken either, but I got heartbroken like 4 to 5 times. But you know, it happens. It happens. Like, you can't say that you don't want to be heartbroken. You can't just wrap up your body with like bubble tape so you can't get hurt. You know, you have to get hurt in life, and it helps you grow. It's not a great feeling, but you know, love's gonna hurt. And when it hurts, at least you experienced it. And then from there, you can be like, okay, what can I do so I can prevent this from happening? Or I can grow from this, or I can do something different so it doesn't have to repeat again. And if it does repeat again, maybe I can try something else, you know? But for people to be stuck in a relationship and think that they cannot find someone else again, or cannot find love again, that's something that I have to disagree with. Because like I said earlier, there's always going to be someone out there to love you.
Okay, so listeners, I'm going to talk directly. Listeners, I'm talking directly to you here. When I listen to a lot of podcasts, okay, even though I make my own, I listen to a lot. And one of the things that I've realized is, when you listen to a podcast, there are things that you pick up on and things that you don't pick up on. And it always depends on where your mind is. So to me, honestly, I could probably listen to that again and probably come up with like a list of fucking like 8 to 10 things that I think were brilliant, that I would like put as a fucking list and be like I would be like one of those Instagram things of like tips for blank. Number one, oh my God. This, number two, this. Like, I could totally do that, 100%. And so what I really want to say to listeners is, go back to that, listen to that again, try to pick up on some of those little things. And that, two things actually. One, there are little, for me, there are little lines in there that I thought were brilliant. And I would, that's what I'm talking about when I say I would literally be able to make a list. But the second thing is also, I think how Michaela thinks about it is brilliant. So like that sort of thought process, I think is also a big deal. Because I know there's a little bit of faith in there. Not just faith in God, because I know some of you may not believe in that, but faith that is going to work out. There is a lot of good stuff in there. I know I'm definitely going to be listening to that again. That's for sure.
Maybe I will make that list. You're confusing my head right now. You're making me feel so confident right now. See, this is an example of self-esteem right now.
I got you. I got you. All right.
I've just witnessed that so many times, and it gets me frustrated. Like, there's only so much you can do, too. And I don't want people to, like, go back to their friends after listening to this podcast. Like, you got to do this. You got to do this. You need to leave. You'll find someone else. It's really going to be up to the person. Like, you, no matter how many times they'll try to encourage your friend or sister, brother, auntie, uncle, whoever, no matter how many times you want the best for them and how much you'll try to talk to them, ultimately it'll be up to them. whether they're capable, if they're willing to listen to you and change, or if they'll just listen to you but not do anything. It's, you can't force someone. It's really just going to be up to that person.
Yep. Yeah. So if you got something to say, go say it. You know, that's that sense of, hey, I can control this. I'm going to do it. Because if you don't, you're just going to be sitting there doing nothing. But once you've done your part, it's not on you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the other person, right?
Yep, exactly.
That's really what it is. So before I go to the outro, one last question for you.
Okay.
We've talked about a lot of different topics here: self-image, love, relationships. What would you? There are people listening to this right now who have listened to the entire episode. And I always think that everyone should be able to walk away from an episode with certain takeaways. Now, there are a lot of takeaways that people could possibly take from listening to what we've talked about today. People can take whatever takeaways they want from this episode, whether it's what you mention or what I mention or something they see in the episode. But I like to ask the guest what they would say would be the few takeaways that someone could walk away with. Even though they can walk away with whatever, what are the few takeaways you would push one last time for someone to walk away with having listened to this episode?
Okay, so I'm going to try to make it clear for them. So let me know if it's not as clear. And I'm going to try to do at least one from each of the ones that I talked about.
Perfect.
So it's one from the self-image. So self-image, the first one I would say is nothing. It's a general statement, but nothing is impossible. You can, if you want to change yourself, change yourself. You can do something about it. And it'll be a hard first push of acknowledging it and realizing the reality that you might need to change. But once you realize it, I believe that's the hardest part has been done. And from there, you can start your journey of what you want to become. And once you are able to do that, then you can be able to maybe love yourself or accept yourself. Of course, it's not going to be consistent, like I said. But like I said, I think that the first major step is being able to acknowledge that. And from there, it's your choice on how you want to handle it, view it, or deal with it. You know what I mean? The second one about relationships, love. Just love because you have a heart. Use that heart for something. Remember to keep in mind that you are not unlovable. There's someone always going to be out there for you. You are worth it. You are going to be loved. Someone cares about you. And be patient, even though it's hard. But if something comes along your way, it'll be up to you whether you take it or leave it. It's your choice. But don't believe that you are not going to be loved, because I know that there is someone out there. And if you don't know who, then you can start with me, because I don't know who you are, but I know that I know that I can love you, and you're not alone. You know, everyone has a heart, so use your heart. Same thing goes in between the lines, that if you love someone and if you're on bad terms with someone, life is too short. Tell that person you love them, make up, do something, fix it. You know, it's never too late. You don't want to regret it. Life is too short for that. So I guess it goes in between the lines. If you care about the person, don't have any regrets with that person. So when you one day, knock on wood, go, you can leave without any regrets, you know? So I think that's a few takeaways. Is that good?
I love it. I love it. I'm going to throw in a few more, mostly as decoration. I'm going to tie the bow on the present that Michaela's wrapping here, to use a little analogy. One thing that I think you mentioned in that soul self-image and relationships aspect of what you're talking about, I think a big part of it is faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned this earlier, but whether it's faith in God, faith in the universe, faith in whatever, I think a big part of it is that you just have to put it into perspective and have faith that is going to work out. I have a belief that is extremely strong, which is everything works out in the end. If it hasn't worked out yet, that means it's not the end.
I like that.
This is a personal belief of mine. I do not know if it's true or not. I don't give a fuck if it's true or not. So far, I haven't been proven wrong, so I'm going to stick with it because I think it is an empowering belief to have, because to me, it tells me I'm going to be fine. No matter what, I'm going to be fine. So that's a big thing, faith. And I don't know what your faith, where your faith comes from, listeners, but figure it out. That would be a big thing. You know, we talked about that emotional, mental, physical strength, borrowing from different aspects. Or if you believe in somebody else and they're telling you, hey, I believe in you, then can you believe in them when they say that? Can you borrow someone else's belief in you? So little things like that. And the last thing I'll mention, actually two last things. I said it earlier, if it's in your control, do it with urgency. If it's not in your control, be patient, move on. And I'll end it with three words. My last little takeaway is, I took this from a guy by the name of Brendan Burchard. He said there are three words that you got to know. Live life, which means experience it, what it has to offer. Love, which means love people, you got a damn heart, use it. And matter, can you make a positive impact on somebody else today? So that's what I got. Michaela, thank you for coming on the show. I'm going to put your social medias in the episode description, as well as anything you ask me to shout out.
Okay, thank you, Eric. It's been very fun. Like I mentioned, it's been a wonderful moment with you to be able to have a deep conversation.
Absolutely. I'm happy we finally did it. Listeners, just go to the outro, damn it.
Boom. Well, thanks, guys, for listening through to the end of this episode. I really appreciate you guys talking to you and the listeners. Michaela's not even here anymore. Actually, this is like 2 weeks after we recorded that I'm saying this. In fact, I was actually just, as I was listening to the episode, editing it a few days ago, I was honestly pretty impressed with what we talked about. Not to like toot my own horn or anything, but I thought we did pretty good. I really did. I don't know what you guys think. Y'all have to tell me, tweet me, tag me on an Instagram story at underscore chow Eric. Y'all know what to do. Let me know what you guys thought, but I thought we did pretty good. Some of my favorite takeaways, guys, I mentioned it already at the end of the episode, but you know, the fact that you can just look at what you can control and do it with urgency and take pride in doing what you can do, and always act, if you act with urgency, you just take so much pride in yourself for taking action. And I think that's so awesome that you get to take pride in that. And anything that you can't control, that you get to just be patient and let go and be okay with that. I just think that's so awesome and so liberating. And I really love what Michaela was saying about belief. How can you raise your self-image? For example, by borrowing belief from other people, or from borrowing that sort of energy from the other aspects of yourself. I just thought that was brilliant, and I definitely want to think more on that as well. And those are two of some of the takeaways that I'm coming away with, and there are certainly more, and I'd love to hear about what you guys are walking away with. But I also want to mention that there is an extra 45 minutes of conversation between Michaela and I that I'm not releasing in this episode. And it's a great 45 minutes. It's talking about living life to the fullest. And we share some great stories in that clip. And we're talking about traveling. You know, I think I mentioned a couple of times in the episode, me and Michaela are often in like alignment in terms of the way we think and And you know, I'm not exaggerating, I think, when I say a lot of the conversations we have almost always include something about traveling. We're both lovers of travel, and we talk about that in this 45-minute conversation that I haven't released yet. And I'm thinking I might use it as a bonus episode. Haven't quite decided yet, but I might use it as a bonus episode. So if you want to hear that, let me know. That's all I'm saying. Anyways, thanks for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I'll see you in the next episode. But until then, my friends, have a fantastic rest of your day.